Now, before we get underway with this very special episode of the USCA official podcast, I am joined by Alex Cox, who is the Horse Week Program Manager, because Horse Week is coming, listeners, and we wanted to find a little bit more out about it. Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about Horse Week. What is in store? Because it sounds amazing.
Well, Horse Week is the first of its kind, and we are bringing 25 hours of never-before-seen video content to this free streaming online video event. It's kicking off October 3rd through the 9th. And what's really neat about Horse Week is we've got something for riders and horse lovers of every level and of all disciplines. We've got profiles of incredible equine athletes. We're bringing storytelling that celebrates the horse-human bond, heartwarming tales of the horse heroics, and also we're bringing advice from world-class trainers all week long.
I love that. It sounds like there is absolutely something for everybody. So how do you watch, first of all?
The really wonderful thing about Horse Week is that, number one, it is free, which is very exciting, this free streaming event. And as long as viewers have access to a smart device, so that can be anything from a smartphone to Apple TV, Chromecast, if you've got a smart computer or if you've got a smart TV, you can watch for free at horseweek.tv online.
And what if I miss it? So if I, and also, can you watch globally or is it just in the US? But can I catch up on it as well?
Yes, you can. So how Horse Week is going to work, we are bringing 25 hours of new content. We have 5 days of programming. So we kick it off on October 3rd, which is a Sunday. So starting Sunday, all of that video content is released. So when you tune in on Sunday, you can have access to all of Sunday's episodes. And then come Monday, you then have access to all of Monday's episodes that have aired as well as Sunday. So it builds on each other. So if you end up having to miss all of Sunday, you're able to catch up on it on Monday on through on the week. So it goes after a video plays live for the first time, you can go back to horseweek.tv and watch any video that you'd like.
Sounds perfect. Just quickly, can you point me in the right direction of where do I need to go to watch Horse Week? Which listeners, so this show will be released on Monday the 27th. So it will be the following week, the week coming, you will be able to watch all of Horse Week. So where do I go to watch it?
Absolutely. So you can stay up to date with all of our Equine Network brands. So if you're following Practical Horseman, if you're following Dressage Today, also the Equine Network Facebook and Instagram pages will be showcasing the live schedule. But all information will be redirected to horseweek.tv. Right now, if viewers want to go and take a look, we've got different trailers of all of the video content there. But Horse Week will truly live on horseweek.tv. So if you need more information, horseweek.tv. If you'd like to tune in and watch Horse Week TV, if you would like to check out the schedule for the rest of the week, go visit horseweek.tv.
Amazing. What are you most looking forward to? Because obviously you have had a sneaky peek at everything that is coming up, Alex. So what are you going to be tuning in for?
I'm really excited. This is such a neat event because it doesn't revolve around a specific discipline or a specific breed. And I grew up in a very strong rodeo Western background. And what's really been fun for me is putting together Horse Week and doing the programming and seeing the behind the scenes of everything, because we're bringing in some top equestrians. Every day we've got a clinic series from Liz Holiday Sharp. I'm really excited to check her out and to watch what she's got to say, just because I feel like if you can learn so much by doing a lot of cross discipline, and I'm excited to see what she has to say. We've also got a lot of really exciting features and clinics coming up on Doug Payne, Philip Dutton, and Boyd Martin. And it's just been really fun to follow along with their stories. And I have a greater appreciation for all that they do. So I'm really excited to see the English content come to life. But really, what I'm most looking forward to is we've got this wonderful piece. It's going to be about women in Western, and it's just going to talk about these wonderful rodeo athletes who are women and how they are just dominating in a very male driven industry. And I'm really excited to see how that will just bring to light a lot of just how wonderful women are and what the role that they get to play in the Western realm as well.
That sounds really interesting, actually. I think I might tune in for that one, because Western riding completely fascinates me as a we don't have it a huge amount in England, Alex, as well. So I'm definitely going to try and find out more. There you go, listeners. So Horse Week is coming next week, the 3rd through to the 9th of October. And horseweek.tv for everything. It is all free to watch. Tune in and follow along on social media for more as well. But Alex, thank you. Good luck. It is an amazing initiative. And I really hope it is hugely successful for you all.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And yes, I hope you tune in. Truly, whether you ride English, whether you ride Western, or if you rope or do eventing, there's something for you. But I also think that you'll really enjoy the other types of discipline that we're offering, just because you might take away something new that you didn't know you had before.
Absolutely. There we go. Listeners, get involved in Horse Week. Just go to horseweek.tv. You can tune in for free. And now I'm going to hand you over to the main show, because we are going to get some top grooms and some top tips.
You're listening to the USCA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USCA eventing news.
Welcome to the USCA official podcast, episode 293. And we are back with another Top Grooms Top Tip special for you listeners, because the last couple of ones of these that we have done, you have absolutely loved. So I have wrangled our very own Max Corcoran and Emma Ford back together once again. We're missing Alex Van Tuyl on this show. So Alex, we're sending you lots of love from the podcast. But Max, I will start with you. How is life since you have been back from Tokyo? Because you had a very, very exciting adventure out at the Olympics.
Yeah, I did. It was pretty great there. And it's been very busy. I think I've been in my own bed about, I think I'm up to 10 times now I've slept in my own bed since getting home 6 weeks ago. But so it's been great. And it's been great to be home. And yeah, just, you know, trying to stay out of trouble by just moving on to the next.
I was going to say 10 times in your own bed in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah,
I don't envy that one. It is that, it feels like it's that sort of mad part of the season, doesn't it? And everything sort of kept going and is sort of gathering exactly. Speed. We're in the same over here in the UK. So I'm recording this as we've gone from sort of the Blair, Bicton, Cornbury, Blenheim, then it's the Europeans, Arkans in there, and it's just that sort of mental period. But do you know what? If somebody had told us this 18 months ago, we would have been absolutely over the moon and delighted at the prospect of being so busy.
Exactly.
So we cannot complain. Emma, how is life with you? Because I imagine things are very busy before things get a little bit quieter, hopefully.
We're actually doing okay. We've actually had a couple of slow weekends, so I've been taking the advantage of those and doing some things off the farm, really. But no, we've still got plenty of horses that are out there competing, and I'm actually in the midst of helping a new team understand the way Phillips Farm works as I plan to move on in October. So
you are retiring. I say retiring, I imagine you're sort of semi-retiring and that you're not going to sort of totally be away from the horses, but you're going traveling.
I am going traveling, and I'm changing animals to elephants, so horses to elephants.
Amazing.
It's the plan. I've always wanted to do.
I will be fascinated to know what similarities that will be between the two. The things on this podcast might be coming in very useful in the next few months.
You never know.
You never know. Okay, well, look, let's dive straight on in. So we have had various questions sent in. We're not going to be able to get through them all for you, listeners, but we will do our absolute best. We've sort of broken them up into different categories to be able to kind of cover them in a little bit more detail. And the first one was actually a very, very popular one. I guess it's the time of year and it is all things clipping, because obviously seasons are changing, the winter coats are coming through. So first of all, I guess let's look at it from that perspective. What effect does the change of season have on them. Their coats get fluffier, but how does that affect their sort of overall well-being if it does, Max? What do we need to look out for at this time of year?
A lot of it is their coat. You know, everyone says, oh, they get hairy from being cold. And yes, they can grow those ugly cat hairs from being cold. But most of it is their body's way of knowing that it's the winter is coming when the days start getting shorter. So they grow more coat. And with that, we just have to be a bit more aware of their temperature, their body temperature, making sure they're cooled out properly, making sure, you know, if they sweat more, then there's going to be more sweat and dirt and stuff stuck to them. And even not just our competition horses, our retired horses too, we got to keep a good eye on them as well. And, you know, if it does rain, to make sure that maybe they get a bit of a curry the next day, so there's no sort of rain rot or anything starting under their fluffy coat. And then trying to figure out too, you know, if you are going to keep them into work, when to body clip them, depending on what your end goal is. If you're trying to get to Fairhill, how late do you push it so you don't have to clip them so often to make sure that they're at where you need them for your big 3 day. And then, you know, and of course, Emma can talk more about the kind of a cool product that she uses on her horses, the Equilum, which is an interesting product that sort of mimics the daylight. It's sort of a mask of sort that they wear. It looks like a fly mask with a little bit of light on the side that can help mimic the sunlight. So it can help with coats. It can help with breeding mares. It can help with travel to help with their sleep cycles and all that. So I'll throw it to Emma on that one.
basically it helps with the tipping season because you don't have to sit so much. No, but basically what Max was talking about, the Equilum, coat-wise, it definitely it elongates their days. So you can keep them in the summer cycle for longer by giving them more daylight hours. And last year was actually the first year we had it, and we had them in our stalls. And there was no doubt, like, I didn't have to clip my horse to Fairhill or for Tryon in November. Because their coat stays super short all through that time period. So it was definitely a useful product for me for that. But yeah, going back to, you know, why it's important to, you know, understand that a lot of people get hooked up on, you know, you should only clip in various seasons. But I, you know, going back to Max's point, like deciding when to clip, it's more important about how the horse is calling out and the level of work you're doing. You know, don't just keep it to the seasons. You might even be in the summer and be clipping if your horse struggles a little bit to cool out. So just understanding that is very important.
The more you clip, does that result in the more you have to clip? Just curious as to whether it just feels that way or actually if it does mean that the coat goes back more quickly.
Means the more you clip. I think for me, I think it's more about personal choice. You know, like when we're in, I would say when I'm in Florida, do I clip more? Yes, but then it's so warm, you know, it's so much warmer for a longer period. So I don't necessarily feel it changes how much you have to clip. Again, to me, it all comes back to the work level they're in and, you know, taking care of them for cooling out.
Yeah, and I think also, yeah, the work of how often you clip them. And then I think, you know, your just basic good nutrition and all that kind of stuff is going to tell you if you get that sort of nasty bleach coat coming in, you're going to want to clip that off because it just looks bad. I don't think I've ever had that experience.
It was obviously
where you
just mine then. Literally, you would clip him and he would just need clipping again. Very, very quickly. And I'm probably one of those people.
There's not a lot of daylight over there.
I know.
There's not a lot of daylight.
The miserable summers or something. I'll be honest, I'm one of those people, and I'm sure plenty of people on this show will be listening, going, whenever I think of clipping, I start to itch just a little bit.
I know.
So on that then, top tips when you get round to clipping, what are your go-tos in so much as making it as sort of straightforward, as quick and as simple as possible, Max?
find someone else to do it.
Hey, Emma's gonna have some spare time. The elephants don't need clipping.
Exactly. I always make sure I think it's the ones, those clippers that Emma loves too, those Andes clippers. I think, is that right, Emma? It's Andes.
The
nice ones that you can get, the really good battery powered ones that, you know, charge up and you're not attached to a cord. I for sure would say those are the easiest to use, and because for more than, they're just lighter in your hands. And the biggie ones, the horses, A, don't like them, and B, they just blow hair all over your face, which is really not very much fun. I try to make sure my horse is bathed and clean before I start this whole process. And then sometimes I think there's different oils you can use to put on them, whether it's like the 3-in-1 oil or something. You just sort of rub them down with the horses down with something to help the clipper blades go through a bit better. Make sure you always have new clipper blades. And then when you're done clipping, just give them a bath and do some sort of hot oil on their coats when you're done. And then you're going to have to go back the next day and spot check, because it's just the way it happens. And then I always make sure I have some sort of like a raincoat or a windbreakery or something, so the hair doesn't stick to me and have it zipped up right through my neck, because everybody knows, any woman knows, that hair or straw or hay down your bra might as well be like an electric cattle prod into your body.
Very, very, very good point. What about leaving things? So in terms of how much of the horse you're going to clip, I mean, obviously there's loads of different types of clips. Looking very generally at sort of a full clip and you're taking most of it off every single horse, do you like to leave anything in terms of legs, Emma? Are you a big advocate of taking the legs off, leaving them on? Any saddle patches? Do you feel very strongly about anything like that?
I don't have a strong opinion to what you leave on. I think it really needs to be personal choice, and again, related to where you are, what you're doing, you know, how your horse drives. Do you have, and for me, a big part is, do you have the time to let your horse dry out properly and groom it after you ride? You know, I feel some people don't realize how long it takes a horse to actually truly dry after they've got sweaty in the winter, you know? And if you're not that person who has the time, maybe taking a little bit more hair off is better. Because that's what I find, like, some people leave the saddle patch on and you'll go and, you know, basically they'll end up getting really crusty under that saddle patch because they end up not actually letting it dry and giving it a good curry, and it just gets very nasty under there. Legs, I think, is, again, very, you know, some people advocate leaving legs on. I personally take them off. I actually have started doing, when I do my sort of December clip, I'll take the legs off, and my horses that are more sort of short coated, if I need to clip them again later, I find that I can just leave knees and hocks down. I can leave that hair and just clip above and blend it in, so that I'm not always clipping the legs. So, you know, I think it's, if you struggle, you know, if your horse struggles with getting what I call skin crud, I want someone to take the hair off so you can dry it quicker. You know, other people will go, well, you want to leave the hair on to let it have its natural ability. So it really is personal choice and knowing your horse and, you know, what if that horse has any issues or not.
Okay, that's a good point. I guess also if they're very sensitive on their sides, we sometimes see little patches left rather where the boot might go, rather than sort of try and, you know, take it all off and then make it, I guess, deal with it being sensitive afterwards. Okay, so clipping, any products that you like to do? When you say hot oil, anything that you put on, obviously, after they've been clipped, something, but do you like to do anything? Do you like to hot cloth them when they sort of are freshly clipped or as part of their daily routine afterwards? Is there anything sort of that you find makes a real difference in terms of keeping their coats in great condition clipped?
Yeah, I think hot, you know, just, I like the Shapley's number one oil, and I add that to hot water, and I'll use that on a daily basis once they've been clipped to add a little oil back to the skin and, you know, moisturize the skin. But it's a really good way of, you know, those rides where they're not coming in full sweat, you don't want to give them a bath or anything, you can just hot oil them and it picks up all the sweat and the dirt and leaves a nice shine to their coat as well. So
it makes them really, really nice.
I think it should be essential to any, you know, grooming routine.
Okay, brilliant.
Agree.
Okay, anything else on clipping? I feel like there are a lot of people hanging on to your every word now, because it's that time of year. We're all thinking about it and everybody is sort of going, oh, right, okay, it's time.
How do you, if you're just doing like a trace clip or something like that, some people I know will use like a bit of tape, or they get chalk, or they do something to help people with their lines? Is that?
That's what we encourage. And, things like if people are doing like a saddle patch for the first time, I always tell them, I'm like, you know, make sure you put the saddle patch on and try and stick it in place with masking tape, because otherwise, you know, the horse will move and the saddle patch moves, and then by the end of it, you've like got this super uneven saddle patch.
It's so, like, inches on one side and 8 on the other.
Yeah. But yeah, I still use masking tape for myself when I do trace clips. And then obviously chalk's really helpful as well,
and new clipper blades or sharpened clipper blades are really, really important too.
Are there any bits of advice on keeping your clipper blades in good condition in terms of helping keep them as sharp as they can be?
It's super important to keep them in, or, you know, obviously oil, you know, I'll encourage people to oil like every 3 minutes, and I know some people tend to, you know, they'll use sort of non-brand oil, but I think it's very important to actually use the brand that your clipper brand encourages, because some of the outside oils or sprays have a lot of water content, which ultimately is gonna, you know, rust your blades. And then when you store them, like, I like to put them in newspaper and then put oil on the newspaper so that they're sort of sitting in oil, you know, just a bit of oil all the time so that they don't rust.
Okay, that's handy to know. All righty. So we will go from clipping, which is a hot topic of conversation at this time of year, onto another one, which is, I guess, something that we touched upon a little bit with a show that we did with Beck Ratte earlier on this year, when she, who's an incredible farrier, also talks about running away to join the circus. It's well worth a listen. One of my favourite shows of 2021, I think. Go back and give it a listen. But she talked to us a little bit about helping keep feet in good condition and the do's and the don'ts. Obviously, as the summer months came and it got a bit harder and drier, but we're now going to be heading into the winter when things get a little bit muddier outside. It might get a little bit wetter. Obviously, I'm speaking very much from somebody in the UK who is sat in her office on the most filthy day. If you could hear the rain beating down on the windows, it is miserable here. So it is probably something that anybody in this part of the world is very much going to be desperate for right now. But what can we do in terms of keeping feet in good condition as we change from the hard ground and the dry ground into it getting a little bit wetter, a little bit boggier? What should sort of people be looking out for, I guess, first of all, in making sure that the condition of their horse's feet, Max, is kept as good as it possibly can be?
That's always like this uphill battle, especially for us here in America, because we're, a lot of us are very nomadic and we travel north and south, and the needs of our horse's feet are change as we go up and down. You know, down in Florida, it's really dry, but it's very dewy in the morning, especially up in, and also up in like Virginia and Pennsylvania in the summer, it's like, it's really, really dry and the ground gets really, really hard. So there's definitely a battle, and different farriers will be giving us different advice. And so, I always ask my farrier, so what do you want me to put on my horse's feet? And I think it's, you know, important that the nail holes get sort of filled in once the farriers come and sort of clench everything down, to put like a little bit of, they usually put a little bit of some sort of a wood putty or almost into the nail holes to sort of seal the foot a little bit, which is good. And then I guess a lot of it's the sole, because we find as the wet weather comes, the feet get a bit soggy, the shoes get a bit loose, their feet get a bit soft, and it's harder to keep those shoes on. And that's when we see a lot of the shoes getting pulled and sort of flaky, crusty feet and all that kind of stuff. So if you have a horse that's out a lot, I would make sure at least the horse comes in for a couple hours a day to let its feet properly dry. And it's, there's other things, stuff that you can put on the soles of their feet to help toughen them up, some Venice turpentine or something to that effect, different hoof packing. There's so many different products out there. And then when the ground gets very, very hard and the feet start to get very, very dry, same thing. There's a lot of products you can use to sort of pack their feet to help their soles stay in good moisture balance, and different hoof oil. The fairies don't love like actual, you know, the actual oil that we put on at the shows because they don't think it's all that healthy for their horses' feet. They love, you know, a lot of them like the tea tree oil, hoof oils and stuff like that for day to day, more hoof creams when the ground gets really dry. But that's a tricky one. And then the other thing too to remember is that the feet grow from the inside out. So again, really good nutrition is also super important. And then there are some horses that no matter what you do, you have the best feed and the best farrier and the best everything, and their feet are just absolute crap. And then you just sort of just get frustrated with them. You just hope you have a really good farrier.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's an interesting point. So the oils that go on for shows, purely really for aesthetic purposes, they're not actually doing any good, generally speaking, apart from making them look pretty.
That's what my farriers have said to me. Emma, you've got other farriers that you work with. I don't know what they've said, what your world is.
Yeah, I mean, I just try and stay away from anything that contains like petroleum in it. If you read the ingredients, the petroleum really doesn't let their foot breathe either way. So, you know, obviously you want the foot needs to be able to take in moisture when it needs it, but release moisture too, you know, and petroleum stops that. So that's what I tend to focus more on. And then, you know, I think, you know, going back to Max's point, like if your horse does live out 24/7, like you really need to think about having an area that your horse can stand on that will stay dry. You know, whether that's a shed, whether that's you know, you can create, like I've seen people put down those like draining mats and then put sandstone on top on the high in a higher level, so your horse has an opportunity to stand off the wet soil. And I just think that's very important as well. And you know, putting on oil, you know, if your horse has super soft feet, putting oil on before you hose them down is, you know, something we're always encouraged to do.
That's my next question, to be fair. Hosing. So your horse comes in from the field, is absolutely caked up in mud to the eyeballs. Yeah. Should you be hosing their legs off? Should you be waiting for it to dry and brushing it off? What would you recommend there, Emma? This is such a minefield.
No, well, it is. And I want to hose off, but that's more because of efficiency than anything else. A lot of the time I'm bringing the horses in, you know, they're going to be tacked up within the next half an hour. So if it's wet and muddy, they're not going to be, you know, I want their legs to be clean to be able to put, you know, boots or polos on. But saying that, if they're not coming in to be worked, then I actually like them to go in their stores and I'll brush it off. So again, sort of goes, I hate to say it, but it keeps coming back to whatever situation is at the time, you know?
Yeah, I would rather a wet, clean leg under a boot than a knocked off kind of quasi dirty leg.
Not dry, mother. Yeah,
not a dry, dirty leg under a boot. I would rather a damp, clean leg under a boot.
Yeah.
Okay, that is fair, I think. Alrighty, let's go from a couple of the others. So I'm actually going to finish off with a little bit more about how you got into what you both do and sort of what you would recommend for anybody looking to follow that career path. But first of all, I've got a couple of questions. One kind of goes into, I guess, something that we've probably touched upon a little bit before, but always gets brought back, sort of encouraging healthy mane and tail growth. So either a mane that has been rubbed or overpulled or gets very, very thin, or a tail that the question that was actually sent in was somebody whose horse went out with cattle as a young horse or was in the field next to them. And the calves promptly ate the horse's tail.
Like, we know where this is going.
Yeah. And they literally have never been able to get it to grow since. So what would you recommend? Is there anything that you can do for good mane and tail growth? I'm guessing the first thing would be nutrition.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But I encourage, so there's a lot of, there's two products that I might use. One is the Shapley's MTG, and I actually had a horse that once would burn. He sat on his tail and it on a 12-hour trip, and it basically fell out.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness!
It took me two years.
Did you basically cry?
Yeah. I also learned how to put fake tails in pretty well for that year. But I actually, for him, I use the MTG product. And I think, I sort of joke about this, but I'm like, remember that the tail, you know, is growing from the dock. So everybody tends to like put it through the tail itself. And it's like, well, that's not really where the tail grows. So you need to actually concentrate on the dock and rubbing, you know, what you choose as hair growth to rub into the dock. And obviously there's not a lot of circulation in that area. So think about massaging it for, you know, massaging it in for 2 to 3 minutes every day as part of your grooming cycle. And, you know, there obviously there is anything that, you know, I always come back to the point of making sure you keep your tail well moisturized and very, very flexible. You know, it's very easy for them to get very brittle, and that's a very easy way to lose hair. So always doing some sort of moisturizer in their tail when you clean it is paramount to keeping, you know, any growth that you do eventually get. But yeah, definitely for me, it was all about working his dog, you know, and encouraging circulation and growth there. But it did come back. It came back in thicker, actually.
Like a L'Oreal advert by the end of it.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else from you, Max, on that one?
No, I'd probably pretty much say the same. It's like, you know, making sure, you know, obviously good nutrition does help, but then, yeah, they, you know, different, even if you just with a regular dandy brush, brush the dock of the tail just to create some sort of blood flow to the area. And the MTG for sure has been, even though it's a little smelly, it's really good stuff. It definitely helps a whole lot. And yeah, just conditioning it and looking at after it like it's your own hair. So there you go.
Okay, there you are. And another
patience.
Question. And patience, exactly. And fake tails. Just tell us about the fake tails for a second here, Emma. Where do you get them? How do you make them? And how do you attach them? Just if anybody is thinking, actually, I need this in my life.
Go buy one. I've never made a fake tail.
I don't think I've ever made a fake tail.
I wouldn't know how to do that. But no, so I support. And there's a couple of ways you can put them in. If you want to go to world-class grooming, there's actually a chapter on how to put a fake tail in. But
Buy the book, exactly.
Obviously, you want to practice at home because, number one, you want to make sure the tail doesn't come out, but also that the horse is okay with it. Because you are adding weight to their tail. So some horses might not appreciate having one. Safety, like, it's actually easier if you have a full tail and then you can just attach it and then braid in, and that secures it in more. But if you're doing it to a tail that's been pulled, then I sort of, it's hard to explain without the photos, but I braid it in on, you know, under the tail, and making sure that it swings naturally with the tail is very important.
There's like a little loop on the top, and you want to make sure that it gets as close to the dock as you can.
But not too low, because if it's too low, then it swings independently of the natural tail. So,
and it looks really creepy.
It's something you have to practice.
I was gonna say, and really practice, maybe put it in before some really tough dressage training sessions and things like that. And if you're leaving them in, because could you just imagine for a second trotting down your first center line and you're losing your tail Do you stop?
Oh, it's happened.
Do you carry on?
Oh, it's happened. I mean,
can you imagine it's the happened. Mortification?
And then you have to do your entire test around said tail.
Around the tail. And then your horse would obviously spook at it. And yes. You would end up having to go back in and just be like, oh, don't mind me, just off to go and get my tail for a second.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, nothing to see. It's fine. Goodness me. Okay, lots and lots of practice and ask, and somebody will be able to give you some top tips. All righty then. Goodness gracious. Okay, next one is obviously you have both had extraordinary careers in the industry, but have a massive amount of knowledge and experience across the board. What would you advise to anybody who was looking to sort of start out their career or was interested in pursuing it as a career? What would you say to them, and how would you advise them to get a good foot on the ladder and a good amount of experience to get them going? Max, I'll come to you first.
I would say be ready for, you know, the... we'll say how to say this politely. There's a new generation that's a little bit tricky these days. I feel like, especially here in America, the generation that's sort of coming up to that age group seems to be looking for praise for being on time every day and looking for praise for finishing their workday on time. You're not going to get that as a groom. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be there on time. You're supposed to look after these horses. So you've got to be a fairly, you know, selfless person in a lot of ways, I think. And that's not a bad thing, to be a caretaker and a selfless person. And then finding the right place to start off. And sometimes you never know. It just sort of happens upon you, and to take the good opportunities and learn from everything and consistently keep your ears open and consistently ask questions and consistently surround yourself with good people. And, you know, maybe you're grooming for a lower level person, and then if you work really hard and do very well, then the next level of people will see that, and you'll get an opportunity to move up again and again and again. But maybe sometimes some people, that's all they want to do is look after four horses for an amateur person that wants to go preliminary all their life. And that's an amazing career as well, doing that. So, you know, figuring out what it is that you want. If you want to be an international groom, do you want to be someone who looks after horses at the lower level? There's plenty right now, I can tell you, plenty of opportunities out there for the right people and the hardworking people. I mean, I'm sure Emma gets the same thing I do. If there was a dime for every time someone has called me this year saying, my person's left, or my person didn't show up again today, I'm letting them go. Do you know anybody? I'm looking for a new groom. I'm looking for a new rider. I'm looking for a new manager. I can't tell you, the opportunities are seriously endless.
And Emma, I guess that's something, I mean, you said at the start of this show that you are working currently with the team at Phillips to make sure that they are all set up and, you know, understand how he likes things doing, but are able to kind of bring their own kind of stamp to it as well. Is that something that obviously you are able to pass your experience on to them, but actually there are plenty of opportunities for people who are prepared to work hard and get stuck in the industry?
Yeah, no, I mean, everything Max said is, you know, there's absolutely plenty of things. And I think the one thing we need to add is that people that want to work for us, they need to be self-starters. They need to be, you know, dedicated people, but they need to be able to come into a barn, and you want to be able to learn, you want to be able to listen and watch. But at the same time, you know, if something, you know, you're like, oh, I don't have something to do, it's like, there's always something to do. Go and pick up that broom. You know, there's always somewhere to sweep. There's always somewhere to clean. And just showing that initiative.
Standing still.
Yeah, just showing that initiative is a huge deal, you know, within the thing. Like I jokingly, half joking, not jokingly, sort of, I'll always see how people sweep, because that tells me a lot. I feel like if they don't sweep very well and don't put much energy into it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
So learn how to sweep. That's my advice.
You're
learn
totally
how to
right.
Sweep.
I do that, like, little... feebly sort of like, me, sweep. It's like, no, sweep. We're sweeping. We're cleaning this dirty floor. Get on with it. Oh my God, that is so funny.
You know, we've, you know, the people that have, you know, come in to us, we've had a big range of people. Some, you know, a couple of people have come in from more, you know, they've actually left what I call standard jobs, you know, 9-to-5ers, just to get the experience. You know, there's one girl that's come in and she's done a bit of everything. She's groomed, she's ridden racehorses, but she's decided she wants to groom, you know. And then I've got two girls that one has an intermediate horse, one has a beginner novice horse, but they're happy to manage. And so I think, we have been very, very fortunate in the people that have come along in our time of need. You know, so hopefully they'll still
be. But you've also had, I mean, Emma and I could sit around and tell some stories of the people that came and left pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we do get giggling about the working students that come and they leave in the middle of the night and they come and it's just, there's some great stories, not for this podcast.
Yeah. I think, you know, it truly is dedication. I mean, I don't know where I was. Someone said, oh, it's not a career. And, you know, grooming isn't a career. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like pretty much made a career out of grooming. I mean, as Max, I feel you.
I think
there's definitely improvements that need to be made. I mean, obviously we're in discussions now of, you know, trying to like how, you know, for me, healthcare is the big thing. How do we get a system where grooms can get healthcare and stuff like that, health insurance?
We don't have the British Grooms Association here in America, but we are the USCA right now is trying to with our ERA, trying to put together some sort of a program for grooms in America, whether it's for education and for access to health insurance and opportunities and all that kind of stuff, because you guys are very lucky to have the BGA there and Lucy to head it up and have all of her energy to put towards it. We're learning and we're trying to find the balance.
And I think that's a really important point, isn't it? And ultimately the teams of grooms that work in all the different barns all around the country, if you work hard, the opportunities are there, and hopefully there are people in your corner as well to fight your corner for you. But it is to a degree a way of life, I guess, but that would always be the case with horses. You know, it's a living, breathing animal. And the opportunities and the kind of different things that can crop up if you want to pursue them are just incredible, as you say. Okay, we'll finish off the show. Three different questions for you, and they could be related to things we've talked about on this show, could be something else entirely. It is up to you both. So I will start with a top product. So something in your yards or barns that you absolutely use every single day, you can't live without, and you would recommend to anybody, go and try it because it's brilliant. Emma, you first.
Oh God, I hate it when these come up.
There's so many. Please call on Emmy.
Yeah. There's just so many.
Yeah, I would agree.
What can I say?
You can mention a few if
use
you like.
It every day, any Rambo horse blanket, any horsewear horse blanket. Every day, okay. I'm using something horsewear.
Okay, fair enough. Max.
I love that my little groomer hand groomy things. What are they called? They're like little curry cones, but they're little gloves, and they're great for
hands
bathing. They're
gloves.
Great for grooming. That's the ones, hands on gloves. Those
there
things
you go.
Are awesome, and they're great for because you can curry the horses with them, and you can bathe them with them, and you can groom your dogs with them, and you can do all those things. I would say that. I mean, but that's like one of like 10 things. That I
feel like that kind of goes into your gadget territory. So my next question was gadget, your top gadget. The bit that never fails to get me, especially now having being the parent of a small toddler, where you're always looking for sharp things, is, you know, those little like knives that are on a little hook that so the blade is hidden that you can cut string with? Can't remember what they're called, but for me now, especially as a parent, I think, what a brilliant idea. And so that would be mine. Anything else apart from your Emma, for you, that you always will use within the yard that might be really simple? It could be a top hack, you know, washing up liquid or something.
No, I for me, I have like this pocket knife razor to thin mane, or not thin manes, but shorten manes for horses that are tricky to pull manes, or that have really thin manes. It also, I can tidy up tails with it. So that's something else that I find very useful and get very annoyed when I can't find it.
Okay, fair enough. And top tips. So a piece of advice, and again, it could be general life advice. It could be something about clipping, covering scars, anything. What would your sort of top piece of advice be for this show?
Mine is just get to know your horse, enjoy knowing your horse, and enjoy the bond. Take time.
Be friends. No, oh, that's a good one. Okay, no pressure in following that one up, Max.
I know. It's like, I feel, Emma's been here before and I was there too. It's like, you work with these horses for so long and they're your buddies, and you know, they walk in, like, especially Emma, and I'm going to, you know, she walks in the barn and her top horses, they look at her, right? And they're like, oh, here's Emma. Sweet. Okay, cool. You know, and they, and to know that when you, you know, to know that is such a cool thing. And I can't imagine Emma's heartache when she, you know, that she's leaving, that this is going to be horrible. But they, you know, we also have to look after ourselves and our own minds and stuff. And it's not easy. So, but I would definitely say, enjoy that, enjoy the people that you work with, enjoy the adventures you get to be on, continue learning all the time.
Okay, that is a brilliant one. Emma, I mean, I really felt for you just then. I thought, gosh, difficult, very, very difficult to sort of have to leave your charges behind.
To be honest, it's why I'm doing the travel, because that was the only way I was going to step away from them.
The moment you come back is going to be, somebody should film it. I hope the elephants give you as much love and respect.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Max, thank you both so much. It has been a pleasure as always. And thank you for letting us delve into all of your experience and share it with all of the listeners.
Enjoy being here. Thank you for having us again.
Emma, good luck with all your travels as well. We will look forward to following your journey, and I have absolutely no doubt. I mean, don't think you're escaping. We will get you back on the show at some point, I'm sure.
I'll still be freelancing when I come back.
There we go. You'll be doing all this clipping that Max will be sending your way.
Emma's such a good clip. Emma can clip in like literally 30 seconds, and it makes me so crazy because I can't decide if I hate it because I'm not good at it, or if I'm not good at it because I hate it. I can't, it's like this, you know, which came first, but it makes me, I hate clipping. I hate it. I think also because I have contact lenses, so I hate it even more.
Your pain on that one. Look, Max, Emma, thank you both so much. Listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. We have got loads coming up for you. We have got a Fairhill preview show next time out. We've got, obviously, goodness me, all sorts coming your way, from an Ask the Experts, a Young Event Horse special. We've got the convention preview, you name it, we have got it. So look, we will be with you very shortly once again. But big thank you to Max and Emma, and thank you guys very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.